Good day. I've been praying for us to click, move in, and first of all, I have to give you all a little reprimand. If Phyllis ever gets up here again, while I'm up there with my earplugs in, I can hear music, but I can't hear anything else. Stop her from talking until she gets this mic. I know it's a pain, but don't let her do that. I was totally in the, I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I see people moving. Oh, it's a group hug time. I'm like, okay. I'm like, there was a black man I worked with in construction. He was the neatest guy. Corlett Brandt knows him, and he would say HBO man, HBO. I'm like, what? He's like, help a brother out, and I'm like, HBO man, help a pastor out. Like, last week I talked. As you saw, we made an adjustment in the when we do communion. And there are elements going on. I'm really trying to be sensitive to our parents with children and the teachers and all of that to get that to flow a little better. Ashley's been working a lot with me and watching and observing. And so we're going to do this, try this for a while and tweak it if we need to, but just to do our worship songs and then have Kurt come up and then just play something that's shorter so we can move through that. So it felt good to me, so yeah, you do what you can to try to make this. If you've ever been in one of those classrooms back there, and you needed to get started, you needed to be over, like, yeah, it's we need to give them prison guard pay sometimes, you know, when that little group, my grandson's in that group, and they go past the time when you can manage, that's like, wow, that's a rough job. So I just love my teachers, love everybody that's working back there to keep that flowing, and I want to always just be sensitive to them. Turn with me to Numbers 20. Last week we looked at Moses negotiating something with the Lord. He hears the Lord declaring who he is. That's a great moment. God himself is declaring his name and whose name, and we see he gets to a point where he declares about himself because he's holy and righteous, he has every right to say this, that he cannot let sin go unpunished. He has to punish the guilty. When Moses heard that, even after, like, there's been this thing, like, Lord, the Lord's, like, telling them, Moses, in chapter 33 of, Exodus, he's like, you go on, bless you, but I can't go with you. It's too dangerous for you, lest I break out and kill you. Because you're a stiff-necked people, and you're dangerous. And you ask every mother that's raising toddlers, and, you know, there's always that. There's those days when they're like, I'm dropping them off at the steps of the fire station or the church or someplace like that. Rescue your grandchildren if you care about their lives. And so there are those moments when your students, when your employees, when your husband, your wife put you right to the edge of, I'm like, something's going to happen. Something's going to go down here. And God has the right to be that way. And because of the rebelliousness and stiff-necked people that Israel could be, not us, but them over there. Yeah. Yeah. They were hard to lead. Like we read in the Bible, we read this like, oh, how could they? How could we is the question. And when Moses heard God say that, he realized, we're not going to make it. We won't survive because I know what our nature is. Even if we say we won't, we will. Even if we promise on a stack of Bibles that we won't, we will. Even if we try to keep all our little ducks in a row, someone's going to be out of the row. And so Moses did this. We need to be eternally grateful for him. He said he realized something. I mean, I never had this picture of him before negotiating. He wasn't saving his own skin. You understand that? He was safe. He was in a good place. I mean, God just right to his face says, I'm going to kill them and I'm going to start over with you. Moses, every leader's been tempted, like, yeah, let's do that. Let's just start fresh. Let's just get rid of them and let's start fresh. Me and you, Lord, you know? But Moses had this amazing, honestly, amazing heart for the people, for them. And he negotiates, and he realized God needs to take us as his possession because you're a little less likely to destroy what is yours, right? Even if you're mad at it. And he negotiates and he presents that to the Lord. Lord, make us your inheritance. So the deeper we go into this and the value of it is to realize how deeply rooted and seated you are. And then after all of that, then Christ comes and becomes all of that for us, that our position with the Father is secure. And every time you're struggling, you have a need, and the voices are going off in your mind, you don't deserve this, how could you now, blah, 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 and it starts. It's a whole tape recording. It just begins in your mind. If you don't identify who it is and what it is that's talking, you'll think it's you. I mean, if the devil sounded like the devil, we'd all be like, oh, I know that raspy voice. I know that red outfit with the two little horns. I know who you are. But when he comes like an angel of light, when he comes sounding like you, it's really hard to deal with that, especially if it's kind of the truth. You don't deserve this. How can you ever or really argue with that? So God, Moses negotiates that with the Lord, make us, and he made them his inheritance. If you own us, if we are yours, and your name is connected with us, you're going to be a lot less prone to torch us. You're going to be a lot more prone to rescue us, save us, provide for us. And the Lord immediately goes in and starts declaring the benefits over them, but then he also negotiates, he explains to them the terms of the covenant that he's entering into with them, which gets kind of difficult, maybe, yeah. But the benefits are amazing. I'll protect you from your enemies. I'll heal all of your diseases. I'll feed you. I'll take care of you. It's a good deal. Anybody with any wisdom would buy, like, yeah, I'm in. I'm with you. Who's greater than you, Lord? You will save me. You will rescue me. You'll save me. You'll keep me. So this week I felt to go to, something else came up in this, just in my mind, prayer time, sitting with the Lord, and I start to remember the situation with Moses at the rock. There's two occasions. The first time he is instructed to strike the rock for water. How many of you know you need water? We only have to have the electric off for 20 minutes, and we're like in despair, right? And one of the big issues is there's no water because we're used to that pump turning on and giving us water. Unless you have city water that's under pressure from something else, but if the whole city goes out, you don't have water anyways. And so he strikes, he obeys the Lord, he strikes the rock, and the water comes out of that. One of our new songs, Honey in the Rock. There's honey in the rock, there's water in the stone. And in that psalm, speaking of honey, the Lord says, I would even make honey come out of the rock for you. That's how intent I am at providing for you. And you're like, honey in a rock? How could that be? God's like, I'll make it come out. I'll provide it for you. That's the extent that I will go to make sure that you have all that you need. Can we just all Salah? It'd be good if you just agreed with that. I would encourage you. Just agree with that. That's the level of love the Lord has for you. If you don't accept that, if my grandchildren don't accept my love, it's like it's not good. I'm like, huh? What? I've proven my love. I've demonstrated my love. And so when the Lord goes to great extents to reveal his love, so many people, because of the doubt, because of the strongholds in their mind, still are rejecting that. That's very sad, isn't it, when you encounter someone that is saying no to the Lord, loving them, blessing them. life happens and the devil gets a real foothold, it's a real thing. And so he'll go to great extents. So another situation comes up, Numbers 20, let's read. 1, in the beginning of the chapter. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now, there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. So you can see a default. You know what a default is with your computer and whatever, the default settings? It's always the settings it goes back to naturally, right? Their default, this issue, all of a sudden I started paying attention to how often stones come up in the life and the story of the disciples and even the Old Testament. Something goes wrong, out come the stones. There is a default to pick up stones and kill the thing, the person, the situation. And they're out of water, but they have no reason at all, no grounds to not believe that the Lord won't absolutely provide for them. We can build a whole case. Let's go to the courtroom and present the facts of how often and how many ways the Lord had already miraculously helped them, save them, and provided for them, right? If you know anything about your Bible, at this point, he has never let them down. They have no grounds for this kind of thinking, but they're thirsty, they're out of water. They should have come and said, hey, Aaron, Moses, have you noticed we need a drink? Kenzie gives us a sign, and I'm thirsty, you know. Feed me, I'm thirsty. It's okay to be thirsty, and it's okay to let the Lord know that. In case you haven't known, we're kind of thirsty here, but where does this thing come from where all of a sudden you're angry and ready to kill people over it? That's not justified, and it's not, that default setting needs to be changed. It needs to be set right. I had Lacey do some things on my laptop. She rebooted, updated all the stuff and took care of it. But when I got back, I hadn't tried to print with it. When I printed, it prints on both sides. I'm like, what? Where did this come from? And it went, that upgrade, update, put it to that. And then I started looking up YouTube videos, I'm like, oh, I can do this. And I started looking into it. And I started watching videos. And I'm like, no, that's good. That's good. I like my laptop and I like it to stay functioning. And so, Lacey, would you do this for me? You know? Because this setting needs changed. Evidently, a lot of people have that problem. It does the both sides, and I need one side. So you want someone that knows what they're doing to reset that. We need reset this anger, this whatever going here all the time. Maybe you never do that with the Lord. Maybe you never go to that anger, resentment, mad at God thing, like upset about things taking too long, or, you know, we don't have enough, checkbook slow, someone just stole money from me, stuff happened, somebody broke into my, something happened, there was loss, you have a need. Our first thing was, Lord, you've rescued me before. I'm just pointing out something in case you haven't noticed, will you provide? See, that's what blesses. Your children, your grandchildren, your wife, your husband, whatever, the people that depend on you, when there's a need, it's not a problem when they just come and say, hey, could you give me this? Or this is, we're out of this. It's like, oh, sure, yeah, yep, I'll get it. God doesn't forget. But to have a good attitude when you ask for something, the people in your life that love you, if they're even halfway normal people, they'll be, I'll take care of that for you. If you come with an accusation, I'm just going to tell you right now, it probably won't go that well. Even if you have every right to ask for them, if you have an attitude and there's accusation in it, beware. You're probably going to get it. not the thing you asked for, just trouble, right? None of us like, we don't like to be accused. Don't accuse me of something when I did not do that, I didn't intend. You may have a need, I'll be glad to help you. If you just ask, like, hey, could you do this? Same with God. I mean, for goodness sake. He's promised, he's doing this, he's taking care of them. They're ready to wipe out Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Oh my gosh. Those strong words. I just wish I would have died back there with the enemy, with the people that didn't believe. Like, honestly, you come to a place in your walk with the Lord and maturity where it's not okay to say those things anymore, okay? Some people get real casual with the Lord and their relationship. Be careful. There's a day that comes when you need to be over that. Our children, as they're growing, there's things we tolerate when they're two. And then when they do that at 13 and 15 and 16, you're like, okay. Not cute anymore, okay? Right? And the Lord's like, step up into the relationship that the Lord has for you and the history you have with him. Own it. Be that person. We're always looking for the right people. How about this? How about be the right people? How about be the right neighbor? How about be the right wife or the right husband? How about focusing on you, what you can actually control and change that up? Work on that. Make sure that's in a good place. Be the right person. So they come with that, and they're contending. There's a way to contend with the Lord about things we need that's not a bad thing. He loves that. Come. You want? Oh, come and get it. Come. Ask for me. There's also a contention that it has this bad spirit about it, this anger attitude. That's like you're lucky to live through that situation. There's grace and forgiveness, and we do live through a lot of things we probably shouldn't, but we do. He's merciful. He's gracious. So they contended, saying, if only we had died. Verse 4, why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. Like, what'd you bring us out here for to die? So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation, and then don't, I hope this word is in your Bible. Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. And as this was coming back to me, the story, the situation, and I asked some questions, and I'm like, when I turn there and start reading, I went, oh my gosh, this was a really big deal. And God was very, the Father, he's very intent that the people, how many of you know that what you see affects you? If your children, you know this about your children, whether they're still children or older, what they saw with their eyes affects their behavior, right? It affects it really big, really fast. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Guess who's angry? Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Yeah. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. This was not good. Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. I'm like, true confessions, I've looked at this thing. I think about Moses, all the years, the journey in the wilderness, all the things he did, who he was, how close he was to God, being able to hear the Lord, to have the Lord talk to him on a regular basis. Do this, do that, build this, don't go there. I mean, I'd call this a relationship. Moses, like very few people on the planet, could just connect with the Lord, like connection. He had connection. He could go to the tent of meeting and God would talk to him on a regular basis. He had full-blown instructions for things, a lot of them. And then he makes one little mistake. This is my little thinking, Rick's little small thinking. One little glitch, one little thing. He hits the rock instead of speaking to the rock. What's the really big deal? Like, what's that about, really? Like, and I find myself when I'm really putting myself in the story, and I have different times, thinking about Moses and the thoughts of having to go through life and not being allowed, only being allowed to look in, you can't go in. This whole journey is set on the destination, right? Promised land, absolutely. Actually, you know, let's leave Egypt and go to the mountain of the Lord, which sounded really exciting. No more bricks, no more slavery. And enter into the promised land, the land that is for you, flowing with milk and honey. And Moses, one little thing, and he's not allowed to go in. Well, I read this and I went, oh, this wasn't a little thing. This was really a big thing. You see how prone people were to act out of anger. And you get into the New Testament, it's still there. Let's pick up stones and deal with this, right? I mean, at the point that they didn't like Paul anymore, they pick up stones, stone him. At the point, I mean, Jesus only supernaturally lived as long as he did. It wasn't like they, you know, I mean, they would have killed him a lot earlier if they could have. You read the stories, he often slipped through the crowd. He was supernatural. He only gave himself to die. They didn't kill him, as in he was running from them and they caught up with him. He gave himself to be caught. He gave himself to die. This proneness of anger that is so intense that it murders, that it kills, that it destroys. And out of his anger, Moses strikes that rock twice. In the eyes of the congregation, they got their water. They didn't know the difference. Didn't matter. Water was water. Two strikes. Hot dog. We got water. You guys get to live. All was well except for the Lord's anger towards Aaron and Moses. It's like, you blew that. Because God wanted a paradigm shift for these people. He wanted them to see something. There was only one opportunity for them to see this. He wanted this people to see Moses speak to the rock, because this is actually how the kingdom functions. So Jesus comes along, and except for that little incident in the temple, like the tables getting turned over and the whip that he made, but that's really about the only, I think it's the only time he really got into it, right? And he didn't sin. He cleaned house, Some people probably went home with some whip marks on them. I don't know, but he let them know, this stinks. Look what you've done to my father's house. Other than that, though, he speaks. He touches. If he touches, it's not in anger, it's in compassion. He lays his hands on all these acts of miracles that he does compassionately, and he often speaks to things. He speaks to, you see him speak to the rocks. He will speak to the diseased. He speaks to the crippled. He speaks to the blind. He speaks to the possessed, the demon possessed. He speaks to the storm. He speaks to the sinner. Like, all of his redemptive acts are they're like predominantly him speaking. And then he wants us to come right into the thing. The scribes and Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were still striking. Matter of fact, they did one final blow to Jesus. They killed him. Jesus speaks. He touches with compassion and healing. God, that thing in the wilderness was so important because he wanted to set a whole new precedent for the people of God, for his people, that they would learn the power of speaking to things. Now, I grew up a Christian for almost as long as I can remember, but I didn't learn about this. I'm even still slow to get it deep inside of me. So even in my Christianity, how many of you can admit, like, we have to be taught this thing about declaring and speaking to things? Like, at first it's like, oh, that's weird. Even though it is Bible, it's weird, right? Jesus and what was his thing about cursing the fig tree and speaking to that mountain? That was about speaking, right? And he demonstrates to his disciples, Jesus is a perfect model, of course. He curses the fig tree because it's not bearing fruit. Nothing looked like it happened. You have to understand that. He curses the tree and they move on in their journey. It's not until they're on the return trip. They're coming back through and the disciples look at this dead tree and wait a minute. That's the fig tree that the master cursed just a little bit ago. It's dead as a doornail now. Lightning didn't strike it. Nothing else. I mean, it's just boom. It just quit living. Wow. Say to this mountain. Was that hard for anybody else to start get this inside of you that you need to start speaking to things? Karen, thank you. Like, you were like 1,000% right on today, speaking that, telling us fear. And I'm like, yeah. And you're like, we need to speak to fear. I'm going to encourage you. Don't get prayer for it. Just do it. You need to do it. You're the one that has the most authority in your life to just deal with things. And prayer's good, and all of that's great. I'm not taking away from that. I'm just saying, hey, you need to do it. We're like, oh, I want someone with real faith to do it. You do. I know, isn't it true? Like, you don't have, it's like, no, you do it. You take the little faith you have and you do it. Why don't you just like go home today and go, is there anything hanging around here? Is there anything in my life I just need to speak to? And we don't even consider it. We just put up with stuff. We have all types of coping mechanisms about some things that just need to be spoken to. Out of your control, that's not the problem. The problem is that we're not approaching this with faith. We don't realize the tremendous model, how predominant this is supposed to be for us, that we speak to the rock. Yeah, but rocks don't give water. This one will. It will when you speak to it. Speak to the healing. Speak to the disease. Speak to the need. Okay, start small. Start in your house when no one's watching. And start speaking to things. I've got a relatively new refrigerator that's making noises like what the, you know? Is the first default speak to it? No. I'm like, eventually I'm probably going to have to call her. I don't know how to fix that. But people have had many testimonies about things they spoke to and believed for that should not, in our natural mind, nope, it's outside of a grid. Things don't work that way. They do in the kingdom, though. Let's stop being like them, and let's start being like us. This was a great day today. And your response, and Phyllis calling you up, and you, even though it took me a while to catch up with what was going on, I was so excited. I'm like, oh yeah, this is, and man, I cannot tell you the difference in the atmosphere when you all did that, when you engaged and you locked in. I don't know how to make that happen, but I have been praying for it to happen. I've been declaring it would happen. And exactly what I saw, as we connect, you just connected today. Whoever you stood beside, you joined together with another member of a functioning body, or a functioning member, a member that has a part to play, and you just hooked up, and now you can do more than you did before. My hand can do a little, but it kind of needs to be connected to some other things to actually lift up something, right? I can squeeze stuff if it's just a hand, but it needs to be hooked up to some other things that I can pick it up, that I can articulate what's, we need each other, we need the body, we need the body to hear better, we need the body to see better. And we were listening to Bobby Connor, and in a teaching I was listening to, we were listening to him. And remember Phyllis, all of a sudden he says, what does the word say? My sheep hear my voice. So be careful, and I understand it, I do. When you're in a place or a season where you don't feel like you can hear anything. I mean, I'm like a little prophetic, but not very. So I'm always like longing people that kind of just seem to dial in like things. I'm envious about that, and I'm like, but the words that we can all hear his voice. And I pray this prayer out of Isaiah 50 all the time. Open my ears that I can hear what you're saying so I can function, so I can do what you want me to do. The Lord wants you to speak. He wants you to hear. I don't care who you are, what qualifications you think you have or you don't have. We're a body. This is your nature, to be like your Father. That's what's normal. And the obstacles in your life, get some wisdom about this, but I'd really get a big kick out of hearing more of you say you spoke to some things that we wouldn't normally speak about. We'd just figure out how to deal with it. But the problem is, some of these situations are very impossible. Have a couple tough relationship issues in your life, and you'll be like, you'll be right to the max of stress. And you can work hard at fixing a relationship that's gone bad. I don't recommend it. Like, I recommend praying a lot and waiting on the Lord. I've tried to fix some things without the Lord's timing and grace. It got worse. It's like someone's like, oh, well, just do this. Like, it just got worse. But wait on the Lord and know what to do, but don't not believe. Don't confess it's impossible. Realize this is what's powerful. This goes right through walls. This goes right beyond impossible situations. And we've made it long enough, the core group of us, we've seen some amazing things the Lord has done that we just kept making bigger messes out of. And I think about those things all the time. I see evidence, I have evidence of those things. I'm like, wow. I know who authored that. I know who performed that in our midst. I'm quite sure. The Lord came in his time and his way. And maybe it would have been earlier if we'd have prayed the right way. Really, you know, believed. Because some of these things were just unbelievably hopeless. Have you encountered any of those? Unbelievably hopeless? Too hard? Get your eyes on him. I encourage you, don't stand in front of the mirror and look at yourself. Stand in front of the mirror and look into it till you see Jesus, then gaze. Studying your navel will not help you deal with life. It'll just give you a crook in the neck. But studying Jesus and who he is, and yes, you can. Come before him. Gaze. I spend weeks, like long periods of time, like consistently going when we had the tent. This awesome long season of just going and just standing before the Lord. And it was an exercise, but it began to develop. And I began to get like steps and stones, rocks began to be laid to how to just gaze at the Lord and his beauty. And it wasn't boring. And I started getting not supernatural things, but you know, if you see something all of a sudden with your eyes, it is supernatural. Yesterday, it was just a shadow. Today, it's a sign. Because he'll use the natural things and the light comes on him. You go, oh my, that's amazing. And you begin that walk. The Lord wants to bring water out of the rock just because you're thirsty. So speak to it. I want you to pick your most impossible thing and just in a simple way, speak to it. Make sure no one's around so you don't embarrass yourself. I give you permission. Go get in your secret place, a secret place, something that's really rough. And we have things like that in our lives, don't we? And just speak to it and step back. In the name of Jesus, like some things, there's mountains that need to be cast in the sea. There are trees that need cursed. There are roots that need pulled out once and for all. There are, and now you're blameless when you do that way and you're not angry, you're not trying to kill something, you're just speaking to it for provision for the Lord's will, you're good to go. You're guilt-free. I mean, there's freedom all in a package, right? No regrets, no guilt. I mean, everybody's looking for that. We try to buy toothpaste that gives us that feeling and deodorant that gives us that feeling and new clothes that gives us that feeling. But it all comes out of walking with the Lord and obeying his spirit, stepping into faith. Speak to the rock. Let me close with James 1:19. I'm like, wow, what an amazing thing. There's more to this, but I want to wrap up. My dearest brothers, this is James 1:19. And through 21, my dearest brethren and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen. Listening's important. But slow to speak and be slow to become angry. Because you can really mess up if you become angry and even doing something righteous. For human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteousness. The righteousness of God is not accomplished through the anger of man. Get it down. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature. For the word of life has power to continually deliver us. The word of life has power to continually deliver us. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your promises, for your word. One more time today, Lord, we cast off fear, we rebuke fear, we tell it to go away. Though the world shakes, we make a declaration, we will not be shaken. We will not be in despair. We refuse that panic, that fear. We'll stand in confidence, we'll stand in faith, and we will open our mouths to pray good things, pray your will of God on the earth, in the nations, among people, for you laugh at the kings of the earth that think they have plans. Say, I have a plan that's coming. I would just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, if you'd like prayer for anything, I really want to encourage you to come up and let me and whoever else there just would gather to pray over you so that we're covering everything that you're struggling with that may be.
Is this an unstoppable church or what?
Amen.
Because we have an unstoppable God. My son Alex is finishing his junior year up at the University of Akron. And he goes to this church just off campus. A lot of students go into it, and he's very excited about what's going on. And he took me past it last week. There's a big 539 on front of the church. And I said, boy, they're proud of their address. He said, that's not the address. That's the name of our church. I said, 539. He said, yeah, it's from Acts 539. It says, if this is of God, it is unstoppable. And he said, that's our mission. That's our church. That's our nation. If it is of God, it is unstoppable. So the quote in the scripture from Acts 5:39, it's Gamaliel. And he was like the most trusted authority in Jerusalem, the highest teacher. He was like the president of the Sanhedrin. And they had been arresting the apostles, and they had arrested Peter and punished him and said, do not teach in the temple. Do not teach in the name of Jesus, or do not do this healing. And they kept going back and doing it. And finally, this Gamaliel stood up and he said, this is nonsense. If their purpose is of human origin, it's going to fail anyways. But if it is from God, they are unstoppable. It's foolish to try to stop them if their purpose is from God. Sanhedrin didn't listen. They flogged the apostles. They flogged Peter. Nothing fun. The next day, they were out in the temple again, teaching and healing. And this is when Peter's shadow was healing people. And it was just such an incredible thing. And the scripture said later on that the apostles were overjoyed. They were joyous about this persecution, but about the fact that they had been obedient and they knew that their purpose was of God. We need to find that purpose. We need to find our joy. We need to find it in our prayer. We find it in our meditation. We find it in our worship, and we find it in communion. When you come to the table today, it is prepared with the broken body and the blood shed for you. So we come with that purpose. What better time than this morning? What better place than at this altar than to find our purpose, to have that conversation with Jesus, to find our joy, and to be unstoppable? Amen.